a Rayo original podcast.
Step into our confessional. Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
From Greatest Hits Radio.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
That's kind of a spooky introduction, which we do every week, but today, what with it being Halloween and everything, that sounds even more sinister. Even though it's the vicar that's done the announcement on
that. But makes it even more sinister because it's the vicar doing it.
Vicar has turned to the dark side.
Yeah, then we're all in trouble.
In trouble. Anyway, welcome along. It's another Confessions podcast. Many people think it's the greatest podcast of all time, especially the people who bring it to you, like Sister Susie, who's in the pub.
I am indeed.
Brother Matthew's in the gutter.
Yes.
Sister Holly is back from her extravagant cruise around, where were you?
The world. Yeah.
Cruise around the world. Only took her a week.
Crazy.
She's back guarding the tack cupboard. Coming up on this week's slightly haunted edition, we'll be opening up the parish notice board where the reviews are glowing brighter than a carved pumpkin. We'll take a quick detour to the not for broadcast section. And if you stumbled here for the first time, I mean, thanks. We've been doing this for years.
You know, come on.
Might have shown a little bit of commitment.
Yeah.
Anyway, this is where we share the confessions from this week's Drive Time show on Greatest Hits Radio, including Brian's frankly distasteful tale, Richard Allinson saves the day, Peter's pit stop confusion, hot sausage and mustard, Boo's confession, tell them Boris sent you. But first, we're going to join best mates Peter and Clive for some terrible behaviour in their confession. It's coming up, it's coming up, it's there.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. We won't tell anyone. What? Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
Today's confession, definitely 12 certificate, definitely, yeah. as you're about to find out, don't try any of this.
Okay.
At home. Peter writes, Simon, I've been listening to the confession slot since the early days and have always known that one day I would need to write to you. And that day has finally arrived. And my confessional tale goes like this. Father Simon, I need to seek absolution from you and your core of clemency. Not for myself, but for my best friend in childhood. Although the sisters of strictness may feel that I'm in need of a little forgiveness myself. Mm-hmm. My story dates back 60 years. To when I and my best friend from those days, let's call him Clive, were 12 years old. We lived opposite each other, played together in local woods and marshes, and attended the same grammar school. We were both adventurous and fond of little escapades.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Such as the time we sneaked into the roof of the school sports pavilion, stood at either end of the roof and hurled javelins towards each other.
What?
The fun only ended when a javelin went through the wooden end wall and was spotted by a teacher. Six of the best for that one.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Okay.
Wow.
So that's the first of the...
Okay. That's given us an insight into what's coming, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
if
you need to be told not to throw javelins at each other, then there's no hope for you.
Yeah.
In the roof.
On the roof. Incredible. The act for which Clive needs absolution happened in the patch of woodland at the end of our street. When I turned up there for our regular larkabout, Clive eagerly told me that he'd found an abandoned hornet's nest.
Oh.
The word abandoned is not quite accurate.
How does that work?
He took me to have a look, assured me that he had checked to make sure it was empty, and encouraged me to thrust my arm inside to check and to see how large it was.
Yeah.
Cue an onslaught by a swarm of irate hornets whose stings seemed to penetrate every inch of my arm while Clive fell about laughing. Gotcha, he shouted gleefully. My arm swelled to 3 times its normal size.
Okay.
I mean, to be honest, one hornet sting is a really terrifying thing.
Yes, yeah.
This is crazy, crazy behaviour. It took more than a week, plus copious injections at the local surgery and daily doses of painkillers before things returned to something near normality. For the sake of honesty and completeness, though, I should admit that there's a sting to the hornet's tail, as Clive got his comeuppance not long afterwards. Some weeks later, as we wandered across the field in our usual way, I challenged him to a high jump competition.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, normal so far, yeah.
To make it more interesting,
often it's a difficult braid.
Of course, yeah.
I suggested we should use the local farmer's barbed wire fence.
Oh, yes. Well, why not? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Just use that.
Instead of a boring old pole. We were both fine with the lower fences, but when it came to the high one, only I managed to float over like the proverbial butterfly. Clive ended up in the local casualty department with a long, bloody tear down his left arm that left him with a lifelong scar. In my defence, he knew the stakes in our contest, whereas he'd knowingly set me up for his real-life sting. And then Peter writes, sadly, Clive is no longer with us. But I'm sure he would appreciate, which is a little, again, just a little bit of a sting in the tail. I'm sure he would appreciate me seeking your forgiveness for quite literally encouraging me to stir up a hornet's nest. It was simply a childhood prank from, let's be honest, different times.
Yes, they were very
so
different.
After 60 long years, I appeal on Clive's behalf for forgiveness and hope that you will allow him to finally rest in peace. Is that how it works? As for me, I leave you to decide whether or not I need a little mercy for encouraging him to throw himself across barbed wire fences.
Well.
I throw myself on your compassionate nature and wise judgment. Yours, impossible penitence, Peter. Okay, well, I mean, javelins, hornets, barbed wire, high jump.
Yeah.
Always. Yeah. I mean, there's like three movies in one confession. Susie, what do you say to Peter, first of all?
Well, Peter and Clive, I know you were only 12 and you were young, but I just don't forgive you. It is dangerous. Danger, danger, high voltage indeed.
Imagine if the electric fence had been... Well,
fence?
If the barbed wire had been electrified.
Wow. Electric fence, exactly. It's just not... And even, the tear down his arm, you stung by a hornet's nest, it's just all... What is it with boys? I just don't understand. Just always seeking danger, and I just don't forgive you. I think you should have just... What's wrong with a board game?
Well, Cluedo, I mean... We've already found out what the difference is there. Okay, Brother Matthew, what do you say to Peter?
Well, you know, I'm going to forgive. I mean, for a start, you know, it was Clive. Clive, he was his decision to go doing the high jump. I mean, obviously, it was Peter's suggestion, but, you know, Clive went along with it, so that's fine. And I suppose, in a way, you know, parents now will say, oh, I want to get my kids off the phone and they're playing the computer too much. And what would you rather? Would you rather they were tossing javelins at each other and doing the high jump over barbed wire? Probably not. So we're all happy now, aren't we? How things have improved. So for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
It was very much, it was like, how many years ago? Like 60 years ago or something? I think tossing javelins at each other is a strong start.
Yes.
I think, for that confession. But it was all done in a... Back in the day, Holly, you have to understand, this is what we did at school. When you went to school, the first thing on a Monday morning was javelin throwing.
Right.
And you'd go up to the top of the school and you'd throw javelins at each other. And if you survived... At each other. Then if you survive, you progress to day two. That was the way the world was.
Yeah, it was.
It's a bit like survival of the fittest. And you're still here to tell the tale.
Incredible.
Yeah. We were the best because we're still here.
Lots of forgiveness on the people's verdicts, including this one from Paul, who will now say, I'm Paul.
Paul says, forgiven. I failed to see a single strand of rusty barbed wire when I jumped across a deep ditch, ran the 2 miles home, 300 stitches and a tetanus jab later, I still have the scars. Boys will be boys.
As I think we mentioned at the time, if one of the bits of the confession involves a high jump over barbed wire, and all you get is, I mean, obviously it was a nasty injury, but it's an injury to your arm, then I think he got away with it.
He did. It was
on
fair
balance.
Yeah.
Right, gather around the parish notice board, please. Matt, do you have some 5-star reviews that praise you an awful lot?
Indeed I do. 5-star says L1267. Infinity stars for Father Simon.
Thank you.
I'm so happy you're back. This show should have infinity stars because it is the best.
Mm-hmm. Matt, can I just interrupt? Infinity is like, it's not a number, though. It's a concept.
Yes, it is. It's the biggest number that there is.
It isn't a number.
Infinity?
Yeah, it's not
a
number.
Oh, no, it is. It's the biggest number there is.
Okay, infinity and one.
Exactly. So then it would be... No, so that
it's
would
a
make
concept.
It, can't add one to a not a number.
Infinity.
Wow. Infinity.
It's not a number. You can't write down infinity.
You can.
It's an eight on its side.
That's infinity.
But it's a concept.
It's a concept. And it's a number. It's all they're meshed in one, isn't it?
It's not.
Lots
it's amazing.
Of stars.
Anyway, carry
pretty
on.
Sure, Aristotle. Anyway, Matt is my favourite. Well done, L1267. Sorry, everyone. I did find a mug in Home Bargains the other day. It reminded me of Holly. It said, Pasta La Vista, baby. Oh, yeah. Yes. Some emojis there. Keep up the good work. Long may it continue. Kiss, 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 kiss. Yes, Elaine Brown, 5 stars. Dear Father Simon, brother in the gutter, Matt, sisters of Clarity, Susie and Holly. Oh, my God. How did I not know that the confessions were bundled up in a podcast? I admit that I'm on catch-up, either in the bath or on my shiny new device in the car. Definitely a 5-star review. I'd give more if I could, from Father Simon's amazing accents, brother Matt's views from the gutter, to the incredible insights from sisters Susie and Holly.
Yeah.
I'm so often in fits of giggles. I tell anyone who will listen about this podcast, may it last forever. I just need to mention that just going to read ahead here.
It's okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just need to mention, says Elaine Brown, that condoms are provided after a vasectomy until the little swimmers are not still in the exit anymore. Thanks for that, Elaine. Let's just move past that.
Not
Elaine.
For broadcast.
Didn't need to include that. Yeah. Oh, so that's not for broadcast. Oh, it shouldn't have been read out. Oh, all right. Okay.
No. She's in reference to a not for broadcast. Where
yes.
You said, why are they giving out condoms at a vasectomy clinic?
Yes.
And there's your answer.
There is your answer. Excellent. Well done, Elaine.
There's your answer to you.
That's what I said. There is your answer.
My answer.
Well done, Elaine. Thanks, Elaine, who continues, please could I get a mug from the tap cupboard? It would be proudly used for my multiple cups of tea every day. I'm at your mercy for this emoji. I have led a pretty decent life.
What kind of emoji?
It looks like a face
really
on its
smiley
head.
Smiley
face on its side.
No,
anyway,
it's not.
I have led a pretty decent life and really have nothing to confess, unfortunately. Thank you for making my bath. Oh, sorry. Thank you for making my bath and my trips in the car so thoroughly enjoyed. Wow. I mean, it was even more saucy, Elaine. Kind regards, Elaine Brown, laughing hysterically in Norwich. Quite a lot in there, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, that's a lot to unpack.
How do you get all that into the... Wow. Did you fit all that in the one review?
My bath.
Thanks for making my bath.
It did give me an opportunity to look up infinity, which is described as a mathematical concept.
Yes, but all numbers are a mathematical concept.
No.
Let's spend the rest of the podcast talking about mathematical concepts.
Limitless, endless, or larger than any natural number. It is a concept.
A concept, and therefore it is like a number, larger than all the other numbers.
One day Matt will say, oh, I've got that wrong.
No, we won't.
If you haven't left a review so far, please do so. Otherwise, Matt gets all a bit, huffy.
I do. Yes.
Susie, what have you selected from the notice board?
I've got an email here from Kia, I think. It says, Dear Father Simon and the glorious parish, after listening to your 10-star show since the early days on The Other Place,
Whatever happened to that place?
Yeah,
whatever happened to them?
I hear people refer to it in that kind of, and I'm not quite sure what's going on there.
So sad.
Anyway.
Carry on.
Yeah.
I felt compelled to email you with all our thanks for bringing so much joy to many drives. My dad, Jerry, has torn his Achilles and has been in a boot for 10 weeks. However, he did do it while bunny hopping during a party game. And at 70, this wasn't so wise.
Wow.
And subsequently is now very fed up. As a dedicated parishioner who has many a favourite confession from the crypt, it would be amazing if he could hear his name whilst listening and then to be sent something spectacular tat to brighten up his day. I'm sorry, I've been too angelic during my 33 years to submit a confession yet. Please keep recording these wonderful shows until I do. Ha ha. Thank you so much, and I'll keep my fingers crossed my plea works. Kia Essex.
Well, Kia Essex, I would suggest that's down to Holly.
Yes, it is. She has the decision here.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it, that both Elaine Brown earlier and Kia have both said that they don't have anything to confess. I find that surprising.
It's also untrue.
Don't we all?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's completely untrue. She's just deluded, basically. Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. But with that being said, it's not really for her. It's more for Jerry, isn't it?
Jerry. Let's not forget Jerry.
Yeah, he's a big fan, so why not? We'll send him a nice postcard, which is signed by us all, and a mug as well.
Also, don't do bunny hops if you're 70, in general. Obviously, there are some people who could, but...
Are there bunny hops in the car?
Is a bunny hop?
He did a bunny hop during a party game. Yeah. I imagine it's some kind of leapfrog thing.
Is it? He's leapfrogging into the boot.
No, he's got a boot on his foot.
because he tore his
Achilles. I'm pretty sure she said he's in a boot.
Yes.
Yeah, he's in
because
a boot for 10 weeks because he tore his Achilles.
I mean, thankfully, I'm actually listening to what people are saying, so I think I'm right again.
Would you do the bunny hop and not break your leg?
Not be in the boot. That's a good point. Great question, Holly. Yes, I would not do a bunny hop. That is true. Yes.
Would you leapfrog barbed wire?
No, I wouldn't.
Would you throw a javelin at someone?
Would you throw a javelin? Not anymore. No, no. We've all learnt our lesson, haven't we?
Really?
That's why these confessions are so informative. Like Lord Reith.
Educational.
Yes.
Keep your additions to the parish notice board coming, please. Confessions at greatesthitsradio.co.uk. A couple of mentions now to Norman Kelly, Jason, Lightbound. All right, Lightbound. Janine Moore, Frank and Betty, I beg your pardon, who are amongst those who got in touch with the secret code phrase from last week's show, which was, of course, burning big bloomers.
Yes.
I forget why. Matt will have a new secret code phrase at the end of this here podcast. Now we're going to step very gently into the darkest corner of the confessional. It's the Mark Knopfler Not For Broadcast section, where the confessions just appeared too disgusting or illegal to get on the radio at tea time. Starting with you, Paul. It's not big or clever to spike a punch bowl with lots of vodka.
No.
Especially when there were also people who didn't drink alcohol and perhaps who were underage drinking from said punch. So this is not okay.
That's not allowed.
That's also, it's almost not allowed for the not for broadcast section.
No, well, it just about scrapes through because we all thoroughly condone it.
That's right. Mm. And if it is risky, then it'll be Susie.
Hang on, no, we don't condone it. We condemn it.
We condemn it.
Yes, we don't condone it.
But Susie takes the rap for that one.
Yeah, no, yes.
Do
Susie's
I?
Going to podcast prison again.
Oh, no. Yeah.
Also, Trevor, using an out-of-order toilet in work was never going to end well, especially when you found out that some of the plumbing was being replaced in the canteen and that your recent deposit was now all over the kitchen.
Was it? So that he threw a hole in the toilet?
He went to the loo, which was out of order. He did the flush and it ended up in the canteen.
It ended up in the kitchen?
On the floor.
Yeah.
Too many details.
Yeah, too many pipes, I think.
Well, not enough pipes. Really.
No, that's true.
Why did he go in an out of order loo?
Because sometimes you've got to go, Holly. Sometimes you've just got to go.
Was there not another normal loo nearby?
Maybe he had someone else in it.
Or maybe you felt like a frisson of excitement at going, of breaking the rules.
Maybe that was the only one. Maybe there was one toilet at work and he was out of work.
Yeah, I think it was.
In which case, you just have to do what
you have
to do.
You just have to go.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Even if it goes into the
kitchen. Would you flush, though?
Kitchen.
Would that be a bit risky?
That would be very risky.
Yes.
I would, I don't know, really.
I don't know, yes.
I think I'd scoop it out.
Yes.
Oh,
that's very much the route.
Isn't that the responsible thing to do?
No one is doing that.
What are you scooping it out with?
Scooping it out. Good question. Good question, Susie. Let's think for and discuss for the next 5 minutes what we would be scooping stuff out of the loo with.
I hadn't thought that far ahead.
A lettuce leaf? No. Anyway, yes, interesting.
Well, what would be...
No, we're not going to discuss what we're going to scoop out of the loo. We're not discussing that. No, or else this podcast has gone down a completely different road.
Well, I'm sure there would be like a keyboard or something.
A keyboard?
From someone else's computer.
How's a keyboard getting down there? I mean, I said lettuce leaf is getting down there.
Once you've done it, okay, where are you getting... Okay, then you'd have to leave the loo to get the object to then come back.
Yes.
You might as well just leave it.
Okay, Let's just leave it.
I'm not saying that's good, but I'm just saying if that was the situation...
You'll probably just edit out everything we've just said.
Or have you thought ahead and took the keyboard in with you?
Take the keyboard in.
Just in case.
Matt, where are you going? Oh, I'm just going to the loo.
Why have you taken my keyboard, Matt?
No reason, Holly. I saw an out of order sign.
You might need it later.
And I didn't want to use mine. I hope that's okay. Anyway, we got any lettuce leaves? No.
You just see Matt.
Why a lettuce leaf?
Taking my keyboard. Anyway.
It pays if you're just thinking ahead just a little
think
bit.
Think ahead.
Yeah.
So have a keyboard in your back pocket.
I think that fits. But anyway, it doesn't fit.
You know how a Swiss Army knife you were supposed to always take with you? There should be like a Swiss Army
Keyboard.
Keyboard.
Which,
or, yes.
Or just a scoop. Okay, confession time. And let's try Peter's tale, which you might remember was called Hot Sausage and Mustard.
Confess all. We won't tell anyone. Just the entire nation.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Today's confession comes from Peter. Peter, thank you very much indeed for this. You get the smart speaker. Do you get the forgiveness? We'll find out. Simon, I have to ask for forgiveness to a woman who will most likely not hear this because this happened in South Africa. The location is Knysna, South Africa. The event is a 100-kilometre cycle road race. It takes place in the summer. When it is so hot, it's like 38 degrees. Please bear that in mind. I had just taken up cycling because since I played squash, I was fit and strong and also wanted to flop around the road and annoy the traffic.
Okay.
Yeah. I have to talk about this. In South Africa, one doesn't cycle alone, and so I joined the local cycle club. I waxed one leg and shaved the other, which is apparently what you do, bought a cheap road bike, and then I bought a steel entry-level bike. Okay, so...
Okay, yes. Yeah,
legs shaved and
waxed. And waxed,
wow.
Yes, yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing. Yeah. I entered the Knysna race thinking I could visit my sister while down that site. She lives in Jeffreys Bay. So I packed my steel bike, my styled helmet, my unwalkable cycle shoes and headed for the airport. After landing in Port Elizabeth, my sister picked me up and off we went to Jeffreys Bay, where I actually grew up, so I'm a surfer too. The next morning, we're just painting pictures here. The next morning early, we hightailed it to Knysna, where I would quickly do the 100-kilometre race and my sister can pick me up there around the winner's circle area. Happy days. Well, starter's gun goes off, clip on the unclippable shoes and off I went. And this is where it all goes wrong. We started off looking at a hill from hell, which took about 97% of whatever juice I had in my tank just to get over the thing. Then there was a bit of flatness, you know, a bit of respite there. But then the hills just started coming and coming and coming. And when you go up, obviously you have to go down and relax and regain some form of energy. But they are so steep that the down part is a few seconds and the up part is like an eternity.
Yeah.
Needless to say, I started flopping around the road like a dead fish. So during another long climb into oblivion and coming up to the halfway mark, there was a white Toyota Fortuna parked by the cone signalling the turn around the halfway mark. It was the halfway support vehicle with the boot open and it was stacked with rolls and sausages and sports drinks and sweets. And I can tell you something, Father Simon, to me that car was like seeing an angel. Behold, I bring you manna from heaven. Ta-da! So I stopped. I filled up both my bottles, ate 6 rolls, packed another 12 rolls in my pockets, messing sausages everywhere. It must have looked like a velociraptor had eaten a whole person inside that car. It was shaking on its suspension and I was growling like a wounded animal. That's the state that I was in. Anyway, with some energy beginning to restore, I clipped the unclippable pedals in once again and set off. When a woman came around the corner, probably wanting to see what on earth was going on, and after seeing the destruction of what turned out to be her boot, she shouted at me, "What are you doing? Those are for my kids." Turned out it wasn't the halfway support vehicle. It was her weekly shop.
Oh.
I think the clue is probably in the sausage rolls. Do you know sausage rolls as an energy snack for cyclists? To be honest, I wanted to say sorry as I sped away, but a roll with 2 sausages hanging out of my mouth and I couldn't say much. I think one sausage still fell out by her feet. So I need to ask forgiveness to that poor woman in South Africa and her kids, who most likely had to share a single roll, and that probably had a bite taken out of it as well. If it means anything, I learned my lesson that day. I now live in Dartmouth, own 3 bikes, and I still only shave my legs and can easily cycle 100 kilometres.
Okay.
Says Peter.
Nice.
Why did we have to return to the leg shaving thing?
Because he's still cycling, isn't he? He's still doing it. Yeah.
So is that what you construe from that?
Yes. Yes. I take it from that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, we don't have many cyclist confessions, but there you go. Who would have thought that was not the halfway support vehicle, particularly as it's got sweets in there. Half a pound of humbugs. Thank you very much.
Why
indeed.
Not?
That'll get me up the next hill. What do you say, Suze?
Well, sometimes they have like jelly babies or like things like that in them, don't they? So if you go on a marathon,
instant sugar hit. Yes, that's true.
Jelly babies. Yeah, I think he knew it wasn't the half away support vehicle, but it was just too good an opportunity to miss. And I understand, but I also can't forgive Peter because those poor children.
Yes. It was theft. I think that's what it is. I think that's what it is. And his personal circumstances, I'm afraid, are irrelevant. Don't bring your cycling into this. You just have to obey the law like everyone else.
Yes, indeed.
Just saying that. Anyway.
However, I'm going to forgive. I'm not sure how much of the energy benefits you get from a sausage roll, but who parked the car right in the middle of the course for the cycling race? Surely she needs to have thought about that before just leaving the car there with the door open and the boot open and all the shopping there. So really, bit down to you as well, I think.
So you think it was her fault?
Her fault. And also, far from the worst thing that's happened in cycling races over the last 20 years, I think it's safe to say. So, for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
We won't tell anyone.
What?
Oh, sorry. I mean, we will tell everyone.
What is the worst thing that's happened in a cycle race?
Well,
over the
let's
years?
Go through those things,
yes.
Shall we?
Is it illegal drug taking?
Well, mostly that, yes.
Anything else?
Well, the hanging on to vehicles whilst in a race, that's not a good thing.
Okay.
Really?
So,
yes.
Cyclists maybe could be sending in lots of confessions.
Yes, I'm sure there'll be plenty of those. Yes.
Although, this is a confession which says, I do admit that I cheated.
I took all the drugs.
That's not going to make it on.
No.
I think hooking your hand onto the supply vehicle.
Yeah. Oh, you see that happening all the time.
That could be quite funny.
Yeah, do you? Does that actually happen?
No, it does happen all the time.
Really?
Often.
Quite clever, actually.
Well, it's not clever when you've got the TV cameraman behind
That's
you.
That's particularly stupid.
Which cheating.
Still holding on to the bottle there, are we, Barry?
Anyway, still to come, it's a confession involving Cluedo films, which also features Richard Allenson, which could be taken the wrong way.
The Cluedo films don't feature Richard Allenson.
No.
We should say that.
No. Well, as far
right
as we
front.
Know. Well, it's the confession that it's the
goodness me, he's hiding that light under a bushel.
That's anyway. True. Is that the name of the film?
I've hid my light under the bushel.
Anyway, quickly, it's Brian's terrible tale. Richard Allenson saves the day on the way, but first, it's Boo's confession. Tell them Boris sent you.
Confess all. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Okay, today's confession comes from Boo. That's B-double-O, which is appropriate, really. Father Simon and the formidable forgiving collective, Monsignor Matt, Sister Susie, Holier Than Thou Holly, Brother Bobby, it's alliteration, and anyway, we shouldn't judge.
Anyway. Okay.
And any other members of the team that I have missed? Well, you've added a few that haven't existed for a while. Yeah. After listening to your confession slot for many a year, I feel compelled to seek forgiveness for an unwitting indiscretion of some 20 years ago. It was approaching Halloween, and my youngest daughter, who felt she was too old to join the throngs of trick-or-treaters, demanding sweets with menace, too young to go to the teenage parties. She still wanted to dress up and enjoy the night. I felt it was my duty as a doting father to step up and find a solution. I brokered the idea of her opening the door to the delightful small children and surprising them before sweets were handed over. She was delighted by this idea, and it gave her the opportunity to wear her elaborate witch's costume, which still fitted her from last year. A high street shop provided a bag of bones, imitation plastic, obviously. It contained skull, arms, hands, legs and feet. I set about making a body from plastic tubing and dressed the whole ensemble in cut-up old net curtains with some finishing touches. I even found some large plastic chains to bind the skeletal hands. Perhaps at this point I should mention I'm a professional model maker, producing boring stuff for engineering trade shows normally, but always had a yearning to do work for the film industry. I think my efforts were surprisingly realistic and would not have looked out of place in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Our home is fairly bijou, with the stairs right behind the front door. I rigged up a fishing wire from the upstairs landing to above our front door. By fixing a screw-in eye to the top of the skull, I could make the skeleton majestically sweep down the stairs.
Oh, boy.
And as he hit the open doorway, his arms and legs swung forward to embrace anybody who was standing on the top step.
What could possibly go wrong? Mm. Well, the witching evening arrived. The front door was decorated with spooky cobwebs and other associated tat. Flickering LED candles were placed along the sides of the stairs, and I borrowed a disco strobe light which seemed to animate the skeleton as he swept down the stairs. My daughter dressed superbly for the occasion in her elaborate witch's costume and even suggested she could scream as the ghostly apparition came down. Well, the evening went very well indeed. Although I could not see the front door from the landing, I could hear the responses. The doorbell would ring, witchy daughter opens the door, explains she will fetch the sweets, steps back and screams. I release the skeleton and turn on the strobe. Small children scream, parents laugh, and sweets are handed over. The door is shut and I haul the skeleton back up for another go. Only on one occasion did I hear laughing parents walking away with a small child vehemently protesting, "It's not funny! It's not funny!" After a couple of hours, we got a bit bored and the procession of small children noticeably decreased, so we called it a night. A ghostly success. Or so I thought. Next morning, my wife was approached at the school gates by another parent who she did not know. "Was that your house for the skeleton?" "Yes, I'm afraid that's all to do with my husband. He does get a bit carried away," my wife replied supportively. The other parent looked quite bemused. "Our little boy was so disturbed, my husband had to sleep on his bedroom floor all night." My wife apologised profusely. "Oh, no, said the woman. "You got it wrong. It's brilliant. He says he never wants to go trick-or-treating again, ever." She was pleased, even if he wasn't. Now, I don't ask forgiveness from the small boy, as everyone knows it's perfectly acceptable to frighten small children, especially on Halloween. After all, what do they expect? But I did deprive that father from any future Halloween antics, which apparently he was looking forward to. My profession has caused me to make all sorts of random stuff, which often turned out to be more realistic than clients had anticipated, which occasionally has been a cause for concern. Perhaps a confession for another time. Therefore, please, when considering your verdict and passing sentence, can you take numerous other offences into account? I lay myself prostrate before you. I mean, we can't really do that because we don't know what the other offences are.
Oh, no, that's true.
So, Boo, you're going to have to tell us more about that. Boo says, not my real name, although ironically it is a family nickname since I was a small boy.
So, in a way, it is his name.
In a very real sense. Yes,
very real
sense. This sounds like the most extraordinary house to have called on.
Yes,
great. What a production, what a performance from Boo and family. What do you say, Sister Suze?
Well, I really like it, Boo. I'm currently in the middle of making a papier-mâché helmet for an astronaut for a Halloween costume.
What's that got to do with Halloween, an astronaut?
That's what the toddler wanted to be.
That's what he's going to be then.
That's what's happening. I kind of understand it, but I do feel like maybe it was a bit scary. But effort alone, I'm going to forgive you.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of effort, is there a parent that's put in more work than Boo? I suspect not. What do you say, brother?
He's clearly put in the effort, Boo, and I'm definitely going to forgive because he's found a workaround, hasn't he? Because most of us can't stand Halloween and kids knocking on the door demanding sweets. And normally we all hide behind the sofa, don't we?
Is that what we do?
Yeah, we all turn the lights off and pretend to not be in.
Or
demand that they show me their manners before they get any sweets.
You have done that.
I definitely have done that. But he's found a workaround. Terrify the kids. They don't come back. Brilliant. So for all those reasons, I'm going to forgive.
Hilarious revelations from a new generation of sinners.
Simon Mayo's Confessions.
Let's give it a 15 certificate, I think. 12? No, 15.
Yeah.
Ooh,
15.
Like it.
15, I think. Comes from Brian, in inverted commas. Father Simon and the Confessional Collective, please be kind and understanding. Like a few of your confessioners recently, I too thought that there was no way I could think of a story that would be worthy of your holy selves. But recently, very recently, this happened. It's a Saturday afternoon, the other half was out, the house was quiet, so I found myself in the kitchen on my phone watching a film. Perfectly innocent film, but then, much to my surprise, scenes of a Cluedo nature appeared.
Oh.
And amazingly, there were lots of Cluedo scenes that followed from this particular moment. I didn't know that this was going to happen, and it was all quite eye-popping. It's strange how this board game has developed over the years. Whole sites online seem to be devoted to it.
Okay.
With all sorts of multiplayer options were tried out in this film.
Yeah.
I settled back to watch when suddenly there was a ring on the doorbell.
Of course.
Inconvenient, it was just getting to the moment of discovery. Will it be Colonel Mustard or Professor Plum who actually did the deed? It was frankly hard to tell.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
I pressed stop on my phone, or what I thought was stop.
Oh.
Turned it upside down on the kitchen worktop and trotted off to answer the door. There stood a neighbour holding some paperwork. I'd previously witnessed documents for them for a house move, and here she stood with more. Not thinking, I called her into the kitchen so could sign the papers on a hard surface. As I started signing, we were joined in the kitchen by her husband, who had been sat in the car. I'm not quite sure what that's got to do with anything. There were a lot of papers to sign, but then I became aware of a very odd sound. Very strange sounds indeed, and I looked at the radio to see if I'd left the radio on. No. How very strange, I thought. And it was then that a massive penny dropped. Although I had turned my phone over and thought I had stopped the video, all I had done was minimise the video, and the Cluedo session was reaching the end game.
Oh, I see.
Initially, it was a very tame game, so there was very little dialogue going on. But by now, I'm only halfway through the witnessing. My signature was getting more and more illegible, and my address was just a blur. The neighbours fell silent and stared at my phone. I was panicking. I quickly turned on the radio. Greatest Hits Radio, Richard Allinson was on, doing his best to drown out the raucous Cluedo game. Now, Richard is a top DJ, but I have never been more grateful for his dulcet tones. Will you please pass on my best wishes? I will, because he's on for Ken this week.
Yeah.
The signing continued with a mixture of Richard, Cluedo sound effects, and me coughing and spluttering. I tried to keep some random conversation going with the neighbours, but it was hard work, I have to say. My friends were still transfixed by my phone and the sounds emanating from it. Eventually, Richard played a banging tune from the 80s, and everything was good. However, Father Simon, clearly I need to seek forgiveness from my friends and apologise for my very strange behaviour. Maybe this will explain it. It was just that I hadn't stopped the film, and I thought I had. And it was nothing to do with Richard. From Brian, and no way I'm going to give you my real name. Well, I'm not at all surprised.
Yeah.
To be perfectly honest. It's funny how Cluedo has developed over the years.
Yeah. Yes, it is.
What do you say to Brian, Suze?
Well, just, Brian, unforgivable, really. Like, for many things in this. Firstly, like, do you know, there's a time and a place. Just, you know, enough said. Secondly...
Here's the thing, actually, before you go any further. Don't watch films on your phone. The film is made to be seen at the cinema or on your television.
So go and see the Cluedo at the cinema? What?
What?
what's the lesson?
Well, I think if you watch films on your phone, it's not the way God intended.
Right. Okay, no.
Anyway, indeed. Sorry, Suze, carry on.
Yes. Well, no, good point. But also, if whatever, you know, embarrassing moments when you're watching films, you know, I've watched films with my parents and moments have come up and, you know, you might have gone to get a drink or all of this stuff. Do you just... If you know you're going to answer the door, you don't know who's going to be at the door. So just make sure you definitely closed it, I think. And just unforgivable, Brian. Just so embarrassing. I can't imagine your neighbours.
Also, if the family are out, read a book. That's what I think is the best thing to do. Or cut the grass. Don't...
Do something productive.
Don't watch Cluedo films. Yeah. Matthew.
Yes, come on, everyone. Go out and mow the lawn. I'm going to forgive because, you know, I mean, everyone was very embarrassed. He was embarrassed. They were embarrassed. But at the end of the day, he witnessed all the documents, didn't he? He got that done. And they were only interested in the documents. And Professor Plum was nowhere to be seen.
No.
So everything is forgiven.
Richard Allinson saved the day.
He did again.
Again,
Richard Allinson saved the day. So for that reason, I'm going to forgive.
Confess All. Simon Mayo's Confessions Podcast.
Richard often saves the day.
He does, doesn't he? Yeah.
It does occur to me that now for a few million people in this country and around the world, listening on the Rayo app, when someone suggests coming round for a game of Cluedo, I mean, if it's fine, because if it's your gran that says, let's play Cluedo, go, that's fine.
Normal,
but if your neighbours say... We're having a big game of Cluedo.
Yes.
That's not going to be... That's
bring
like
some pampas grass.
Pampas grass outside and it's going to be like Swinger Central.
Mm. Yes.
I think that's the way that's going to be. Wow. So just be careful. That brings us to to the close of our careers. If you have a tale of guilt, then we would like a confession from you, please. Send it to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk. Over to Brother Matt for this week's secret code phrase.
And the secret code phrase this week is keyboard as a scoop. Keyboard as a scoop. Is the code phrase for this week.
You're all choked up.
I am all choked up, sorry.
If you made it this far,
emotional.
You can post this week's code phrase on Threads or Blue Sky at Mr. Simon Mayo on Threads or Simon Mayo on Blue Sky. I think I'm actually on Instagram as well.
But who are you? Ooh, wow.
I think so.
How did this happen?
Well, it happened just this morning.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Yes.
I'm not quite Instagram action, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure how to make it work yet.
Do you follow me on Insta?
I don't really follow anyone.
You've literally just started.
Right.
Are you on Instagram?
I'm on Insta.
Are you on Instagram?
I use Insta.
I'm not on Instagram. God, no.
Oh, I love a bit of Insta. Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm going to be very busy following everybody.
Follow them all.
Because I love you all.
Yeah.
If you've enjoyed this episode, please do give us a 5-star review. Share the podcast with your friends in a bath or a shower. What else? Oh, yes, we'll be back next week for some more rollicking action. Until then, from the pub, Sister Susie says...
Ta-ra.
From the cupboard of Tat, Sister Holly performs these words...
Pasta la vista, baby.
And the gutter, Brother Matthew says...
Goodbye. Goodbye.
Bit traditional.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for listening.
Simon Mayo's Confessions. Want to confess? Simon Mayo would love to hear your story. He may even keep it to himself.
He definitely won't keep it to himself.
Send gory details, please, to confessions@greatesthitsradio.co.uk.